Hi, how are you?
Good, great. Can hear you loud and clear. It's not too cold there, is it?
It's Baltic.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, right. Keep hopping around the place while you talk.
I've always said that the election should happen at the best time for the country. Now is that time.
Oh, come. Nobody ever reads manifestos during the election, Sean. You know that.
Look, they've taken our policies. They are bereft of policies.
For every person that likes you, there have to be people that hate you in equal measures.
This is Election Daily, a special series from the Inside Politics podcast team at the Irish Times. I'm Hugh Linehan. Every evening we're going to keep you up to date on this general election campaign. And with me today from the Irish Times political team are in studio Fia Kelly.
Hi there, Hugh.
And out on the Fine Gael battle bus in Edwardstown, Jennifer Bray.
Hello.
Jennifer, how's the fear and loathing going on the campaign trail?
Well, currently I am in Edwardstown and I'm coming to you from a dilapidated room where half the walls aren't present. I may very well fall through the floor at any moment. I'll put up a picture on my Twitter later on to show you what I mean. But it's basically all glamour and I'm living my most glamorous life.
Glamour and catastrophe, is that a metaphor for the Fine Gael campaign so far?
Indeed. So we started out the day, the afternoon even, on the battle bus, and they've brought us to Longford, where they are hoping to get a second seat. So it's one of those constituencies where it's a kind of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil shootout for the last seat. So it's an interesting one. So we arrived then into Longford town, and we arrived to a coffee shop, and we're brought in to watch the Taoiseach basically shaking hands with supporters or people indeed who don't support him. There were people outside who were asking others to take photos of them with Leo in the background, and when they were asked, you know, will you be voting Fine Gael, they kind of said, of course not, no, I just want the picture taken. So inside the it's kind of a coffee shop that doubles up as a shoe shop, so it's my kind of place, to be honest. The Taoiseach was speaking to school kids, and it was kind of a strange event in that the heat in the room was unbearable. He was basically completely, metaphorically and otherwise, backed into a corner by everybody. And two handlers behind me appeared to be, or sounded to be, getting a little bit worried about the presence of some potential protesters. And they were trying to figure out ways to keep them away from the Taoiseach and trying to get the measure of them and see what could potentially go wrong here. So there was a strange kind of atmosphere in the room, I have to say, sort of a feeling that anything could kind of go wrong at any moment. The Taoiseach then spoke to us for a quick doorstep and we made a couple of comments. But afterwards, we were outside in the street and I just spotted a Garda van and someone inside shouting very loudly that Fine Gael are a shower of expletives and something along the lines of, you'll do nothing for this country. So, you know, it just shows you that these very carefully orchestrated events, the photo calls, media events, they can go wrong very, very easily.
Right, that person was obviously unsuccessful in their attempt to be selected at the recent Fine Gael convention. Listening to you there, I mean, I was looking at the Taoiseach. We have a video up on irishtimes.com of the economic plans which were laid out this morning by the Taoiseach and by Leo Varadkar and Heather Humphreys. And I was reminded about a terrible public speaker he is. Is he any better in this kind of slightly more informal but still deeply weird setting?
I want to be kind and I want to be kind of fair to everybody, but I have to tell you, no, I don't think so. You know, I think he's got better in that he's better in front of the cameras when these things happen, so it looks less awkward. But when you kind of listen to what he's saying, often it can still be quite awkward. I'll give you an example. When we were wandering through the coffee/shoe shop, one potential voter, I presume, came up to him and said, best of luck in the campaign. And he said, it's not luck that I need. I need number one votes. So I kind of thought, that's an interesting line. And we moved on to the next person who just happened to say the exact same thing. And then the Taoiseach said the exact same thing. And I think I heard this line a couple of times and I sort of thought, you know, just maybe something new might be good. But that's just me. And, it's easy for me to say that following him around. And he's in the spotlight all day and that can't be easy.
I mean, Jennifer, I know you've done those kind of things before. But, Fiac, I mean, you've done these kind of things. They're obviously deeply artificial. There's something that's required. It's part of the gig, part of the biz, all that kind of stuff. What's the merit of them and what are the pitfalls?
You're seeing out and about. People turn on the 9 o'clock news when they're sitting down in the evening with a cup of tea. They see their Taoiseach and the leader of the Fine Gael and the leader of Fianna Fáil, because the 9 o'clock news is very rigid in how it does these things. RT has to show all the leaders out and about. It's the sense of momentum, the sense of movement, the sense of campaign being out amongst the people. And at times, it is no harm if you're seen to be heckled and tackled by people in the campaign trail, because then it loses a sometimes sterile, I suppose, atmosphere it had. Remember 2016, when it was very rigidly controlled, and Enda Kenny was on the campaign trail at the beginning, going from his car to Fine Gael office and back again, there was no kind of room for engagement and encounter with people and for the chance people come up and heckle you. That sometimes in itself is not necessarily a bad thing because then people say, oh, look, he's putting himself out there.
Because there was this technique which Bertie Ahern had and Enda Kenny had as well, Jennifer, wasn't it, where you just move so fast that there was no time for an embarrassing incident of any sort because you were gone before the chance of that had emerged.
Exactly, yeah. And you kind of do the kind of little, you know, fist bump and the, you know, shoulder to shoulder and move on, and it's kind of high octane campaign. But like, there's only so long you can do that for. I mean, you can't do that all day long. Eventually you have to stand still and listen to what people are saying to you, even if you don't like it. And I'm sure most of the time, being the Taoiseach, he's probably not going to like it.
This is the leader's tour. This is one part of the campaign. So it's the most visual part of the campaign. It's what everybody's going to be seeing over the next while. I did spend an hour or two this evening ringing Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael TDs and just kind of saying, like, you know, how's things going so far? Look, bear in mind, we are only, what are we, day two, day three? Full
depends how you get three. Okay, you know, we say okay.
I'm
tomato,
saying three.
Tomato, it's whatever it is. But anyway, last couple of, both parties, interestingly, said, TDs and both parties were saying that they found the canvassing easier than 2016, that they felt that it was a different type of atmosphere, people were more willing to listen. They both said that people are genuinely seeing it as an either-or, that they're not hearing as much of independents coming up and, you know, protest-type candidates, and that they felt like, obviously, people are still making up their mind. But one interesting thing that came back to me from a number of Fine Gael TDs, not just one, which I thought was interesting, they said that organisationally that this campaign is of a different beast to 2016, that they felt the level of I suppose, coordination from the centre is much improved. For example, two of them said to me that on Tuesday they had leaflets in their offices within hours, not even within hours. One of them was in Dublin, said he had leaflets at his door or his office, wherever he want, at 10:30 on Tuesday morning. That was the level of coordination. And it was putting that usually you might get a leaflet from a TD or a candidate saying, what are your concerns in town X, Y, or Z?
Yeah.
What Fine Gael HQ seemed to have done this time is had like kind of boilerplate ones with the national messages with the head of the candidate on them to say, here you are, this will get you through the first 3 or 4 days of the campaign. Okay. Out you go. And this, to some people, felt that this was just a bit more.
So there's a sense
care.
That somebody's in charge and they know what they're
and
doing.
And they say, like, you know, other stuff, like, we get messages every day, the messaging from HQ is different. So some of them are quite happy with how it's going.
Did you, just a final thought on that, on Fine Gael, before we move on to Fianna Fáil, Jennifer. Do you get a sense of that on the battle bus in any sense, that it's a kind of, it's an efficient operation?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. On the battle bus, it's only journalists and we're all just kind of staring at each other or into the void. So on the battle bus, okay. I can't say, but I do agree with Fig. And I think the other thing is, you know, we have been either preparing for an election or worrying about election or thinking about election since this administration got underway, because nobody ever really believed the confidence in supply would last. Nobody believed that another budget would get through. And it always did in the end. And it kind of, certainly from my perspective, I was always proven wrong, which goes to show you a lot about my political punditry. But, you know, I think that people were prepared for a very long time, and that showed by how quickly they got off the ground.
Okay, well, hold that. Hold that thought for a minute, just to say that we'll be coming back to another subject in a minute, but just to mention again that if you do like this podcast and if you do want more quality journalism from the Irish Times, all you have to do is go to irishtimes.com/subscribe and sign up for a digital subscription. €1 is all you pay for the first month for unlimited access to all the news, all the analysis and all sorts of other good stuff. So that's irishtimes.com/subscribe. Now, as I said, Fiac, you were with Fianna Fáil today. Both the main parties released their economic strategies today. How was it?
Well, to a point, it wasn't much of an economic strategy because there wasn't much detail. I think that's to come in the next week or two. So it was an economic and Brexit theme press conference from Fianna Fáil with Lisa Chambers, the Brexit spokeswoman, and Michael McGrath, the finance spokesman. We're anticipating more detailed plans next week, but I think the key element today was Michael McGrath saying that in the manifesto, that the overwhelming, allocation of resources for Fianna Fáil will go towards public spending. The confidence supply deal committed both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to a 2/3 to 1/3 split in favour of public services. He said Fianna Fáil will go above that to tackle problems like homelessness, so we can expect a largely spending-heavy Fianna Fáil manifesto. I think that was the key element of that launch today. Bit of pressure on the Brexit front because Sean Haughey is the foreign affairs spokesman for Fianna Fáil. He wasn't there today. And I think Fianna Fáil have clarified that since Lisa Chambers is obviously front and centre as their Brexit spokeswoman, but they say if Fianna Fáil are in government, that the Minister for Foreign Affairs, whoever he or she may be, will be the lead person on Brexit.
Now, it's very early days in the campaign yet, but it does seem that every day we could run an item called Who Screwed Up Today? And today it appears it was Sinn Féin councillor Paddy Holohan. Here's what he was saying.
And not against Leo or anything like that, but to me, I want a family man running the country. Mm. I want somebody that knows what it's like to have kids, maybe hopefully boys and girls. So when you're creating the policies and all of the stuff that's going to go on, that you're like, why? It makes sense. I know what it's like to collect my offer from school.
Now, that was from Sinn Féin councillor Paddy Holohan's podcast, and it kind of blew up today. Both that statement about the importance of family seemed to be very directly targeted at Leo Varadkar, and also a further statement about his Indian background not being suitable, essentially, for somebody to understand the country. He retracted that. He apologised for it, or at least he apologised, Fiacc, in that classic sense of he apologised if any offence had been caused, which is the standard template these days. He's a councillor. Does it matter that much?
It matters in as much as it can be used as a stick by Sinn Féin's opponent to beat them with. So it will be used by, you know, Labour Party and other people. Someone in Labour texted me and said, you know, I kind of said, oh, look, Maureen O'Sullivan is out of the race. Finian McGrath is out of the race, looking better for Éan O'Riordan and Joe Costello. And they said, yeah, we're not talking about Wolves or having a go at the Taoiseach today. So I think in that respect, it's measured against other people. So if you're a direct opponent of Sinn Féin, you'll see this is a good day because Mary Lou McDonald is out defending what are basically illiberal positions and, you know, pretty objectionable positions. So for Sinn Féin's opponents, it's Sinn Féin on the back foot. So for them, it is good and they will use it against them.
So Jennifer, did that cause many ripples?
Not too many ripples, no. The Taoiseach was quite balanced about it when he gave his answer to questions we asked him in Longford. He was saying that he accepts the apology from the councillor and that, you know, basically when somebody makes an apology, that should be good enough. Now, there have been calls from organisations like Pave Point for political parties to effectively dump candidates off the ticket where they are repeatedly engaging in rhetoric that could be considered anti-immigration or hate speech or anti-minority anything, basically. So I asked him, you know, is it his opinion that if there is a candidate in any political party who is repeatedly doing this, should they be dropped? Does that kind of send the right signal?
Well, repeatedly, yes. I think we should. Every party has to have standards, and we've learned from experience in that regard in my party, and we've revised our party pledge on foot of that. But at the same time, you know, I think if somebody makes a remark that they regret and they apologise and withdraw it, I think that should be accepted. And, you know, I accept in this case the apology has to be made.
Got a last thought for the day, Fiacc, as we approach the weekend?
It's kind of settled down into a rhythm, as we kind of knew it would. So day one, a couple of first days, the excitement of the campaign being underway. Yesterday, a bit of controversy, the housing issue dominating, and we're settling into a rhythm now. And it's, suppose it's going to be a long 3 weeks ahead, and we'll have to get used to lulls in the campaign as well as highs. But I think what's going to be interesting is the next few days, candidates actually canvassing their own local campaigns, kicking into gear.
Especially at the weekend.
At the weekend, and they'll get an assessment of what people are thinking. Look, they're saying now everything is still up in the air, but I think it's going to be really interesting after the next few days, so Monday, just to touch base with other people and see how are you getting on, what is the mood on the doorsteps.
Yeah, I think we'll be hearing an awful lot about great receptions on the doorsteps over the next 2 or 3 days. We'll leave that there for today.
Cold evening, but warm reception.
Very good. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Jen. Thanks also to Fiacc for coming in. Thanks to our producer, Declan. You can subscribe to us on all the usual platforms. You can find us at irishtimes.com/podcast. Your views are most welcome. You can mail us at politicspodcast@irishtimes.com. Talk to you very soon.